We're going to go into Psalm 127. Those of you that have your Bibles, and listen, you should all have your Bibles because you're not coming into the house as consumers. You are coming in as a participants. And therefore, you shouldn't step into the house. I'm telling you, don't come into the house without the Word of God. Because you're not here to find out what I have to say. You're here to hear what the Word of God has to say. And so if you're not into the habit of bringing the Word of God into the house, make sure you get into the habit. You are not a consumer. You're a participant in what God is doing. And so Psalm 127, and this morning the message is simply called Unless the Lord... I almost went on there. But it's simply called Unless the Lord. And you can put whatever you want after that, but Unless the Lord. So let's read together. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Unless the Lord. And this morning we heard a prophetic word talking about possession, taking possession. And again, that was strengthened with that scripture, reminding us that if God is for us, who can be against us? And we are in a significant moment as an assembly, both here in Neath and Aberavon, the two sites. We are in a significant moment in the life of this assembly. And so I want to talk this morning about unless the Lord. Because there are many things that we could do. There are many things that we think are good ideas. But unless the Lord, then it comes to nothing. I wonder if, Jill, would you help me? I got a packet of marshmallows here. Who likes marshmallows? Okay, just keep your hand up. Jill, just go around, give them a marshmallow. I want you to hold on to the marshmallow. Hold on to it. Don't eat it. Just hold on to it. You'll get a chance later on. But if you like marshmallow, just help you. You know, just take a marshmallow. Yeah, anyone who wants a marshmallow, I hope there's enough. I've only got one packet. In the 1970s, a psychologist researcher named Walter Mischel did a famous experiment. It was called the Marshmallow Experiment. Many of you will know what this experiment entailed. He got a group of children. See, some people can't listen to instruction. Oh, it's a biscuit, is it, Jim? He got a group of children, I think they were under sevens, and he brought them into a room. And he gave them one simple instruction. He said, he presented them with a choice. He placed on the table one marshmallow. And he said, you can have the marshmallow now, but if you wait, you can have two marshmallows. He then left the room for 15 minutes. Needless to say, out of this group of under sevens at various times, some of them made the decision to eat the one marshmallow, whereas others waited the 15 minutes. Some were faring well and they were waited, but in the end they ate it. They waited for a few minutes, but they ate the marshmallow. What Walter Mischel later did is, over the next 40 years, he followed every single child to see how they progressed. And what they found was that the ones who were able to delay their gratification, in other words, the ones who waited so that they could have two marshmallows, they fared better in every area of life. And so they renamed that experiment the power of delayed gratification. The power of delayed gratification. At an assembly, as I've already said, here in Neath and Aberavon, oh, sorry, you can eat your marshmallow now if you want to. As an assembly here in Neath, we're at a tipping point. There are decisions to be made which govern our future. But they are decisions that are not just for the here and now, but decisions that will have a ripple impact down through the generations. We are at a moment where it's almost as though we can choose instant gratification to meet an immediate need, or do we delay gratification for a future generation? And we are at a tipping point. The thing is this, in moments like that, when we have key decisions to be made, and all of us have had moments like this, where we've made key decisions, where it's a tipping point in our life. It's a tipping point in a moment. And so sometimes there is a temptation to panic. There's a temptation to manipulate, a temptation to orchestrate and to make things happen because you are fearful that if you don't do something, it's not going to come to pass. And so we panic and we do what we think is the right thing to do. How many of you have had moments like that? Moments where it's been a key moment and you think, do I wait on the Lord? But what you then do is you push ahead, you move situation, you change circumstance, you put things in place, and then the outcome you find is the worst decision you have ever made. It has an impact on you. And you find, because you orchestrated, because you moved things, the outcome was negative. It wasn't a good one. We find that it was a disastrous, a poor decision. And as we think about the world, we can look around and we can see this instant gratification mentality at work all around the world. But we are not called to be people of instant gratification. We are called to be different. We are called to be a different people. Because the word says, unless the Lord. Unless the Lord. Of the 1,500 psalms written in that's attributed to the scriptures, Solomon, Psalm 127, Solomon is only attributed to writing two of them. This one, Psalm 127, and Psalm 72. It's an unusual psalm if you read it. And we have just read it, but you go back through it again. Because unlike other psalms that either praise or offer a prayer to God, this psalm instead is more like a proverb. It's an observation. It gives us instructions about, if we choose to live life in a particular way, there will be an outcome. So although it's a psalm, it reads more like a proverb. In the first verse, right from the onset, we see what the psalmist, what Solomon is writing. He says, unless the Lord builds the house. And in that first sentence, we have there Solomon putting together Lord and house. I don't know what you think about when you think of those two words. Maybe you think about your own home. Is the Lord, is Jesus, is God Lord of your household? Do you make room for him in your house? But Solomon, I think, when he writes this, unless the Lord builds the house, I think Solomon was thinking about the temple. Because the temple is the place of God. It's the place where God, God's Spirit, chose to dwell amongst the people. The tabernacle, the temple. It's the place where people could go and know that they would meet God. Because the temple is the dwelling place of God. But it doesn't just speak about a building. I think more importantly, far more importantly, it speaks about a people. Because the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul reminds us, he says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." God calls you as a people, a holy people. How many times have I told you that? We're not holy because we think we're holy. We're holy because God calls us holy. And we are his temple. We are the place where the Spirit of God dwells. God no longer dwells in bricks and mortars, but he has chosen to make his habitation in people like us, ordinary people like us. And so there is a weight, because we know that the Spirit of God dwells in us, and that carries a responsibility, it carries an accountability, it carries a weight. But unlike Proverbs, as I've already alluded to, this is a psalm, but it reads more like a proverb. But unlike Proverbs, where Proverbs predominantly talk about living a good life and a bad life, if you do this, then this will happen. Unlike Proverbs, this psalm quickly brings the focus back to the one to whom we look, the focus on Jesus. Again, in that same verse, unless the Lord. So it doesn't matter what we think or what we think might be a good idea. It's dependent on him. Yeah. Again, that might remind us, if we're talking about Proverbs, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And again, verse 1 reflects that. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You can have the greatest plans in the world, but unless the Lord has a say in it, unless you make room for him, let me assure you, if you pursue your own wants, your own desires, and there is no room for his Spirit, it's going to be disastrous for you. You're going to regret that you ever made that decision. I say that from experience, because like many of you, I've had those moments where I've made those decisions apart from the Lord. I thought it was a good idea. I was anxious, fearful, and so I moved situations and orchestrated things. And then to find that it was the worst decision, or one of the worst decisions I'd ever made. You see, the thing is when you make a bad decision, when you make a decision apart from the Lord, there are still consequences of that. You still carry the consequence. Of course, God is gracious. Of course, God is loving. But if you make a bad decision apart from him, you are going to carry the consequence of that bad decision. There's no getting away from it unless the Lord. Solomon says that all the honest hard work in the world is in vain unless the Lord builds. And as we think about this house and its future, You know, this is a verse that is quoted many, many times in assemblies. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. But there has never been a moment that is more true than where we are now, unless the Lord builds. And Jesus himself gives us that same mantra, if you like, saying, I don't really like using the word mantra, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, says a similar thing when he talks about do not be anxious. I'm just looking for it now. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you are being anxious can add a single hour to the span of your life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, and this is important, I suppose we can sum Psalm 27 up in just this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus tells us, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't be anxious. Don't let this uncertainty of life cause you to worry. Don't try and make it happen. Take your hands off. Instead, he says, trust him. Why? Because Jesus has got you. I've heard that phrase already this morning. Jesus has got you. And so because he's got you, we don't need to be unduly worried or anxious, because he is working for our good and to our advantage. If God is for us, who can be against us, we've heard. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As a leadership team, as I say, at this moment in time, we would value, and that's why we're calling this special prayer meeting, because we just value your prayers at this time, as there are key decisions that need to be made. But they are decisions that will have an impact into the generations. It's not just for a moment, and that's why we're inviting you to this special prayer meeting, so we can put those things before you and we can pray and seek the Lord in that, because we are so mindful. I'm so mindful that unless the Lord, we're not interested in good ideas, we're not interested in personal opinion. What we want is we want to know what the Lord has to say in these moments for the future of his people. But I also understand and know that it's not easy keeping your hands off things. It's not, is it? Some of you, it's harder than others. I'm one of those where it's hard for me to keep my hands off things. I like to. But the Lord says, the word says, unless the Lord. It doesn't say unless Jim, it doesn't say unless Katrina, it doesn't say unless Lydia. It says unless the Lord. Yeah. And that speaks about taking our hands, learning to take our hands off things. You remember in 2 Samuel 6, there is an account there. You remember David was returning the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem after recapturing it back from the Philistines. And we read in that account, this line, 2 Samuel 6:6. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. You know, I always feel sorry for Uzzah. Maybe some of you do as well, because it seemed that he was doing the right thing. The cart had stumbled. It looked as though the ark of God was going to fall off the cart. And so Uzzah did what perhaps many people would do, stretched out his hand to steady it. And if you know the account, you know as a result of that, he was struck dead. And the point is this: there are things that we have no business putting our hands on. There are things that solely the domain of God that we have no business trying to control, because it's unless the Lord, it will come to nothing. And there's also a warning, I think, in that same account in 2 Samuel 6:3. We read this before. It says, Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the cart. Listen, the Lord does not drive you. The Lord is the one who leads you besides waters of rest. So here's the thing. If you find yourself in a situation where you feel driven, where you feel you don't have a choice, you can be sure it's not God. Amen. He doesn't drive you. He leads you. And we can be sure that when it talks about driving, we can be sure that Ahio and Uzzah, they weren't sat up on the cart like riding a stagecoach. They weren't doing that, because how would Uzzah have been able to stretch out his hand otherwise? So the picture is they were behind the cart, driving the cart. But God never drives you. And I want to emphasize this again. Maybe some of you are in a situation right now where it's a pivotal decision. It's a moment that will have a lasting impact. It will change something significantly. But hear this: if you feel driven to do it, you're in the wrong place. It's not the Spirit of God. And I'm saying that categorically. It is not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the one who leads us besides places of rest. Again, the scripture reminds us that when we enter into the rest of God, we rest from our own labors. In other words, when we are confident that we are in the place where God wants us, we take our hands off, because we know he's in control. And we find true rest. The Lord never drives. Instead, he leads us besides waters of rest. And verse 3 of this same psalm, where it talks about, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. What is that talking about? Well, I think it's talking to us both spiritually and prophetically, not just in the natural. Because of course we know children are a blessing from the Lord, but this is not what Solomon is talking about. What Solomon is talking about, he's talking about not just a moment, but he's talking about the generations. And the picture is this, that the man at some stage when his children were grown up, particularly if they were male, if they were boys, they would go and stand with him on the wall to guard the city gates. That's why the psalmist talks about the children being a blessing. Behold, they're a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb. And again, it talks about when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Because it's this idea that when they come of age, they will join their father in terms of guarding the city gates and the city walls. And so what we see is not, it's not, the psalmist is not talking about a moment, but the psalmist is looking down through the generations to a time that will come. And likewise, we cannot just be stuck in the here and now. We have to be a generational people who aren't just concerned with the thing that is in front of us, but actually we have to think with God's eyes and think about the generations. Because unless we think generationally, there won't be a church. There won't be a church unless we think generationally. Decisions we make today will have a ripple effect down through the generations. Why? Because it says, unless the Lord builds. Unless the Lord builds. Over the next 2 weeks, and I'm bringing this in to land. Over the next 2 weeks, there are some things I want you to do. I want you to commit the next 2 weeks to praying for us as a leadership. As we consider, as we wrestle with some of the decisions that we need to make regarding the future of here and Aberavon. I want you to pray for us earnestly in these next 2 weeks, because we're mindful that unless the Lord builds, I want you to come and join us on the 20th here for that special prayer meeting, when we will set before you some of the issues that we are dealing with, having to wrestle with. And we're going to pray as a people into those situations, because decisions need to be made. So I want you to put the date in your diary and plan to come and join us on that day. Lastly, if you have a key decision personally now, if you are in a moment of key decision making, if you are uncertain about whether it's the Lord or not, if you are in a situation, and I'm speaking to you as well online, if you are in a situation where you just feel driven, you don't have a peace about it, then I want us to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. Why? Because unless the Lord builds. And some of you perhaps need to take your hands off and trust the Lord. Some of you perhaps need to just steady your character, your personality, that would, you know, say, I've got to do something. But the Lord says, no, just take your hands off. Give it to me and see what I'll do. Unless the Lord builds. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Adrian, would you come back and play something for us, please? I want you to consider in this moment where you are. For us here in this space, for those of you who are in key decision-making moments right now, we want to pray with you. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We are the temple of the living God, and God wants to do something in us.